welcome, ladies and ghouls, to the Ghoulcast. For this exciting episode, you will be listening to the smooth, silky sounds of Amanda Ringler, Crystal Holloman, and Courtney Brown. Next up, your favorite single, Mandy Cries.
That was great. Thanks. I guess I can go first.
You should, since you're talking already.
Whatever. So, today we're going to talk about some crazy bitches from history. Like, Marie... Why did I forget her name already?
Joke.
Probably. Marie LaLaurie. And Crystal, who are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about Belle Gunness.
Ooh, Courtney, who are you talking about?
Elizabeth Bathory.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I heard she took baths in blood. So.
Did she?
But did she?
Wouldn't it, like, coagulate?
And it gets so sticky. You know what that reminds me of? Just as a quick aside. So, you know how celebrities are like, oh, I'm going to go get this vampire facial, and they're going to put blood on my face, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess some places they were going, it wasn't their blood, and there was issues, and, like,
yeah.
Some rich people ended up with hepatitis.
Oh.
So, okay. On that note.
I think every time there's a sound on here, Courtney looks around.
The more you know. Okay, so I'm going to go first, and we're going to talk about Madame Marie Delphine LaLaurie. So, you're probably sitting there listening, and you're like, who the hell is Marie LaLaurie? And that's soup's legit, but if you watched the season of American Horror Story, Coven...
Mm-hmm.
That was Kathy Bates' character. Well, that's what she was based off. I can't remember if it was supposed to be her legit, but whatever. I think it was, actually.
Because
they talked about a lot of, like, New Orleans folklore crime stuff, because the Axeman is someone. So, this is one that, you know, she's super notorious in the New Orleans area in Louisiana. And there's a lot of, like, misconception around what actually happened and what is, you know, part of folklore. But I'm going to tell you basic, like, historically what I was able to find about her. So, honestly, there weren't, like, a ton of red flags that something horrible was happening at the LaLaurie Mansion, right? It was located in the old French Quarter of New Orleans. The only other trouble that she had been in that had anything to do with any kind of violence towards her slaves was a 12-year-old girl who was brushing her hair out, LaLaurie's hair, and she hit a snag and pulled her hair.
Well, don't have raggy hair.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. Or he's like a leave-in conditioner, but...
The best back then.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean coconut oil.
Like, in her monthly shower, or bath. Anyway, so... this 12-year-old servant was brushing her hair, hit a snag. LaLaurie freaks out, starts chasing her with a whip, and the girl didn't want to be whipped again, so she jumped off the roof of the mansion. So, this being the time period which it was, which is horrible, but, the LaLauries were only forced to pay, like, a $300 fine. They were also forced to sell their 9 other slaves, but... The municipality kind of turned their head and looked the other way as her family rebought those slaves, and then they went back to work the LaLaurie Mansion. Yeah.
Loophole.
So, you know, when you look back before this fire that happened in 1834, when everything kind of came to light, what was happening there, historical documents actually show that she emancipated 2 of her slaves. So... there wasn't any indication of what was happening there until...
She was a good person. On paper.
On paper, until... it was until the night of April 10th, 1834. So it became evident then that the kind of monstrosities that were happening at the hands of Madame LaLaurie. So the night of the fire, that's what kind of brought it to light. You know, April 10th, there's this huge fire. So all the neighbors, you know, they come running. Some are just kind of, you know, rubbernecking, watching, you know, this big mansion burn to the ground, while others are trying to help. So what really stood out to the neighbors was that she was trying to save, like, her jewelry, her furs, you know, her expensive belongings all by herself, like her and her husband, and there weren't any servants around to be seen anywhere.
Which you would think their servants would be helping them.
Yeah, exactly.
Get all the expensive stuff out.
Yep. So, or at least they would be somewhere on the property.
Yeah.
At least visible.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yep. So, the neighbors are like, where is everybody? And when they were asked, you know, hey, where are your servants? Why aren't they helping you? Where are they at? They were basically told to mind their own business.
Mind your business.
Right? Mind your business. And that was not too keen for these people. So they decided that, you know, even given the time period, like, nobody wanted to see all of these people burn up in a house.
Right. The Southern hospitality kind of kicks in. Your community comes together and everybody helps when a giant mansion is on fire. It's not like you have a giant fire department to help everyone home, right?
Right. So a small group took it upon themselves to bust into the house to find out where the servants were. And what they found was just a house of horrors. So they went up. Well, first they actually found a 70-year-old servant who had been chained to the stove. Now, what was weird about this is she's chained to the stove. She's forced to cook for the LaLaurie family. She is not allowed to eat. So she was starving to death.
Can you imagine smelling all that good, normal food?
And you're not allowed to eat any of it? That would be horrible.
You made it, and you can't eat it?
Yeah. So, it really is. Like, it hurts my stomach.
Me too. You remember last time we had Cajun food?
Ooh, rough.
Real New Orleans Cajun food.
Magical. So, sorry, we got sidetracked by delicious food. Just a little bit. So it's believed that she actually started this fire as a way to commit suicide. Like, this was no life to live. Yes. That's just one of the reports is that's how the fire started. But I haven't found anything that said that that's 100% how it started. But
yeah.
So these neighbors and stuff, they make their way up to the attic. And
so wait, when they found that 70-year-old, like, she was dead? Or
no, she was alive.
She was alive?
Yeah.
Oh.
So as soon as they got up to the attic, and it was also reported that maybe they heard some, like, moans or, like, screaming coming from that area, so that's why they went up to the attic.
Yeah, because why would you instead up in a house fire?
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, it's just like when you're running away from something, or, like, if there is a fire, like, you never want to go up, because what if you can't get back down? So there must have been a driving force for them to go in that direction. So once they opened that attic door, they stopped dead in their tracks. Between the smell and what they saw, it was a horrific scene. So what they found was LaLaurie's torture chamber. This discovery of what they reportedly found there, earned her the name in New Orleans and Louisiana as the Savage Mistress.
Savage.
And that's because it's purported that a lot of the monstrosities done by her where they found heaps of corpses in the attic, organs, limbs. They found slaves pinned to tables or cramped into small cages. There were people who were alive that they found who purportedly had their eyes gouged out, fingernails torn out, ears hanging by shreds of skin, or their mouths filled with animal feces and then sewn shut.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, ooh. And that's just...
We go from delicious Cajun food to bad.
Yeah, it was quite the transition. I'm kind of sorry for it now.
Okay, yeah.
So...
And so some of these people were alive, but probably couldn't explain at that time what these strangers were seeing.
Yeah. So there's a lot more too that people allege to have seen when they entered this attic. So
it's not like there were cameras there to
right,
the
yeah.
Building.
Right. So many accounts claim they found one woman whose skin had been peeled off in spirals to make her look like a caterpillar.
Oh, never eating curly fried skin.
Right. Another.
I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Snap. There was another with her bones broken and reset, so she looked like a crab.
Like crab legs.
Stop. And one more whose intestines had been torn out and knotted around the waist. And those, like, these women were reportedly still alive when they were found.
Was it mostly women that she did this to?
It was women and men. She did not discriminate.
Okay.
She allegedly did not discriminate.
Allegedly.
The cops reporter just came out, and me and I'm just like, I gotta say allegedly. She was...
Allegedly.
Spoiler alert, she wasn't convicted, so I have to say allegedly.
Allegedly.
But we'll get to that in a second. So, all the claims state that these people were still alive, many of them, who had endured, like, this horrible torture, putrid, and they were starving. So, there are a lot of rumors and assumptions that go around with this.
That's
like
what
this
kind of
this whole finding.
Folklore and
yeah, you
especially
know,
especially down south, especially at that time.
Right, like when you're talking about, you know, the 1800s and stuff, you know, one person reportedly saw this and then someone else saw this and then that all becomes part of the actual story.
Story just twists.
Yeah.
It's like the snowball effect. It just keeps going. The next person adds something else. And
yep.
They try to one-up the last person to talk about it.
Well, I heard.
Yep. So it's very much like playing telephone.
Yeah.
So the story gets completely distorted. And this is definitely to not take away from what LaLaurie did.
Because there were official reports, I'm sure.
Yes. Like,
of what was found.
Horrible things happened there. There's just not a good documentation on the number of victims.
Right.
Or what actually happened there. So there is some speculation. Like, some people believe that the number of people that were found in the attic was, like, you know, 100 or more. So, I mean, it'd have to be a really big mansion to fit 100 people in an attic.
I mean, a large mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm sure he didn't really care about their personal space up there.
Right.
So, it's one of those believable claims.
The only thing is that historians say that it just wasn't likely.
I mean, how would you get away with having 100 people in there?
Yeah, like, right. How did you, like, the owning of slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, she had to sell her 9. Her family bought them back, and they worked on her property.
So you knew for sure she had 9.
Yeah, so you knew, kind of, like, there's no record, you know, because they kept records of that kind of stuff, because back then, unfortunately, because, you know, it was a garbage time period where we treated human beings like property, there was bill of sales, there was
right.
information that would have all of this cataloged. But the hitch on that is it wouldn't have been in her name or her husband's name because they were forced to pay a fine.
Well, they were bought
right.
by a family. Right?
Yeah,
you
so...
You don't know how many were
yep.
actually in her possession.
Yeah, so...
Or, I guess if you really wanted to dig deep, were they even all legitimate slaves?
Right.
You know, or were they just human trafficked?
Yep.
In a way. Yeah, abducted, or did she have slaves for so long that they had kids?
Yeah.
And she
never noted any birth.
Exactly.
Yeah. So these are all things that kind of play into that, so that's why historians are like, it's kind of hard
but
to say.
But even so, that is a ton of people to have in an attic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without someone beforehand
noticing.
Yeah.
You get 30 frat boys on a hotel balcony and it collapses. I mean, come on.
I mean, the stench would have had to have been terrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. So, that's one thing, is that historians, they've always believed that the number of her victims were actually inflated.
I mean, New Orleans already stinks, sorry.
It's true. I love it down there, don't get me wrong, but Bourbon Street smells like vomit and pee on a good day.
It's because people go there to party.
Pouring.
They're real serious mm-hmm. about it. So, there's a hitch in this, too, where, like, people believe that maybe she wasn't the one who had this torture chamber up in the attic. They thought maybe it was her husband, Louis. He was a doctor. So one speculation is that he turned away help from the fire because that was his torture chamber. He didn't want people to find it. He was doing weird medical-esque kind of experiments. That's one theory, is that that's what
Believable.
Happened.
Yeah. Doctors are weird.
Right? Sorry, especially, like, in the 1800s, like, early 1900s.
Yeah.
Some weird stuff.
Magic.
There was also, see, that ties into the next speculation, is that it's possible that he was fooling around with the voodoo, that kind of stuff, especially potions, in a way for him to try and create docile servants, which just saying that out loud makes my stomach hurt, but
yeah.
that was the mindset, that's what he was trying to do, but again... These are all just kind of rumors and speculation. The thing is that when this fire happened, there were 4,000 pissed off people that wanted them to pay. Now,
and that says a lot about the community.
Yeah. Like, I think the thing is...
It's such a bad thing to have happen in your community. It's unbelievable.
Right. The thing is that in the time period, so, you know, what led to the little girl's death... That was just caught with, like, a fine. Like,
right.
You know, don't be mean to your slaves. I need you to pay $300 and give me your other 9. So it wasn't, like, it wasn't like today,
mm-hmm.
where in most instances we see the value of human life. So I think that there were certain stipulations, like I found studies that said, you know, oh, it would have been normal for them in that time period to have chains on their slaves, like, to a certain area or in the house where they were sleeping, because there were so many uprisings.
Right.
I believe that her uncle had been killed by his slaves.
Which has that trickle-down effect to where she went.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in that area, too, if you think about the time period, like, these are people who just want their freedom. They don't, you know, they're being treated horribly or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't mean or whatever, like, in a dismissive way, but I think that we all understand history and how horrible that was and
right.
how horribly they were treated.
Pre-Civil War.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are, you know, they want their freedom and they don't want to be treated this way. So uprisings... In some areas, I don't want to say they were super common, but they did happen.
Right.
But the atrocity to this extent, because apparently they were okay with, you know, servants being disciplined. They were okay with them being chained, but they were not okay with them being tortured in
what?
this aspect. So at least they had that going for them.
Right. They had a wee bit of morals.
So... This huge mob of people, they start ransacking the mansion. You know, they take everything out of it that's worth of any kind of value. No idea what happened to her husband, but homegirl Bamps, she got on a small boat and went to Alabama. Sorry, I had to hiccup.
I was going to say that's gross, because you're going to Alabama, but then you hiccuped, and that kind of
does a lot. Well, she went to Alabama to a port where then she was able to take another boat to Paris. And that's where she lived out the rest of her days, was in Paris.
I mean, allegedly, she didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
It has always been believed that she was a person of interest in this horrible torture room.
I mean, it happened on your property, so you're somewhat responsible.
Exactly.
You can't say you didn't know it was happening.
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, I didn't know. I had 100 people in my attic being right. tortured by my husband.
Yeah.
At least one of the two of you knew what was going on.
Yep. So, yeah, not a lot is known after that, though. The only, like, historical documents that exist that even show that she was alive up until a certain point in Paris was correspondence with her children.
She had kids in that house?
Yep.
She had, like, a bunch of daughters.
Yeah.
Woof.
She had a bunch of kids. Because she was married 3 times.
Fertile.
Right? She's like, bam, baby, bam, baby.
Bam, husband, bam, husband.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of birth control back then. No.
Yeah. And I should also mention that it is speculated that the 2 slaves that she allowed, you know, she gave them their freedom,
mm-hmm.
that it was part of the will of one of her husbands. I think it was her second husband.
Oh, that he wanted those ones.
Yeah, but that's
I wonder
not...
how long, like, before the fire happened that those 2 were emancipated.
It was a decent time.
Because I wonder if they knew what was going on.
No. There wasn't, because it would have come out. There wasn't any kind of speculation of that.
I'm like, hey guys, guess what?
And I think that's why, too, there's speculation that her husband was involved.
That makes sense.
Her third husband.
Because why wouldn't she have been doing it all along?
Yep. Right. And there's no documented anything that she had any kind of violence towards anyone the rest of her life. There was none leading up to that, except for the one incident.
Was she PMSing? We don't know.
Girl, that's a bit much for a PMS, I'm just saying.
We got some stories about some postmenopausal women that...
But yeah.
It does make sense, like what Courtney said, is why wouldn't she have been doing it with her first two husbands? And it makes sense that there would have had to be some type of medical knowledge for certain things like that to happen.
I mean,
like
the
break bones.
I was
going to
say
that.
Breaking your bones and resetting into different...
That's something that even if you're just quote unquote messing around with somebody,
to even reset,
you would need
some sort of medical knowledge.
Yeah.
So, kind of makes sense that you don't just go on willy nilly.
Yeah. You don't just guess at that shit and get it right.
I don't think a lot of it was gotten right.
Yeah.
But I mean, another to disembowel somebody and, that.
And keep them alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. To not strike an organ and bleed out.
Yeah.
To have a person allegedly still be alive.
Yeah.
Somebody with medical knowledge would have had to at least have a hand in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe she was convinced by her new hubby that this was the right thing to do.
Right.
Brainwashed, really.
Maybe.
Wasn't she obsessed with, like, her looks?
I couldn't find anything that officially claimed that.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of speculation. Like, it's a fascinating read if you look her up, of the different kinds of stuff, because you can go to one article that says this, and then you find another that says this. Like, there's all kind of speculation around the folklore of Marie LaLaurie. Like, it's fascinating. So it's hard to differentiate how much was it her vanity, kind of like the story in Coven. That's what it was, is that she wanted to live forever, she wanted to stay young and whatever. Or young-ish.
Stay the same age?
Yeah.
Not progress any further.
Right. Like, there are stories that claim that kind of stuff, but it's so hard, you know, to kind of differentiate of what's part of the rumor mill and stuff like that to cause someone to commit these kind of atrocities or... You know, it was super hard to find, but yeah, like, you can read all kinds of stuff that, like, different kinds of claims and the stories around it. It's fascinating.
It's weird that your focus in LaLaurie was only found out by a fire. Like, she could have gotten away with it for years and years if that fire hadn't have happened, and that's exactly how my girl, my lady, was found out. So I was looking up, you know, kind of when we were going over this topic, and we were kind of trying to find a woman for each of us to do a little bit of research on and focus on. I was kind of hit with a lot of stuff like Aileen Wuornos and like some kind of like more modern day ones, I guess. But I decided to look up the first female serial killer in the United States, and while your lady happened about 50 years before mine. Mine was the first one to actually, like, be accused of the murders and be sought after by authorities for it. But she was only found out when her house burned to the ground and they found the victims. So it's kind of weird how the women think that that's how they'll get into it. But I was researching a woman named Belle Gunness, who was a Norwegian who moved to the United States. She moved to the United States, to India specifically. But she was known as a lonely heart killer. That's what she categorized as. And Courtney and I were talking earlier that a lot of the female, the sadistic female people that we were researching for this, they tend to be one of two things. They're either a caretaker who is put in a place of authority for people, whether it's the very young in a hospital or the very elderly, and they kind of just, you know, murder that way because you're in a hospital or a you know, hospice center, and it can be passed off as accidental, or the reason, the cause of death is something completely different, you can get away with it. Or they're Black Widow type or Lonely Heart Killer, and that's when they just kill their husbands, kill their boyfriends, collect insurance, and they keep moving on and on and on, and that's how they go about it.
I think with that type too, I think it comes down to what's in it for them.
Yeah.
Like insurance policy, some way for there to be financial gain involved.
Because
some of them, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a husband or whatever. You get into some of these ladies, like in the 1800s, the early 1900s, that would take in boarders and stuff like that and take out insurance policies or whatever, or just kill them and steal their shit afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's exactly
it's fascinating.
What Belle did. She placed ads for male companionship. And she would poison them and then rob them, take some of everything, and nobody knew any better. But she was only discovered after her farmhouse burned to the ground, and they found a headless torso, which was believed to be hers, and the bodies of her three daughters in the house. So she was first married to a man named Mads Sorensen, just the most Scandinavian name I can think of, Mads. They own a candy store, which burned to the ground.
Norwegian candy.
So apparently they have really good chocolate.
It does sound good.
I do.
It, like, rivals Switzerland chocolate.
It didn't specify what kind of candy they had. Now I want to find out.
But, yeah, their candy store burned to the ground. And, oh, guess what? So did their house. Weird, right?
Strange.
Weird.
I'm just going to use my context clues, and I'm going to say that's probably not a coincidence.
Allegedly. Right? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Here's another coincidence. Mads happened to have two life insurance policies. Why would he have two life insurance policies, you may ask? Well, one, he had two life insurance policies on a specific date, I should say, on July 30th, 1890. He was the one day he had two life insurance policies. His first one was set to expire, and the second one was set to start. He just happened to come home with a headache that day, and his lovely wife, Belle, gave him, you might have to tell me now, quinine powder. Thanks, Dad. quinine powder.
Chris for the save.
Yeah. Well, the quinine powder was to relieve his headache. Well, she went to check on him after giving that to him, and oh, he died. So if Chris starts bringing around quinine powder.
Dun, dun, dun!
So, oh, this one day that Mads has his double life insurance policy, he happens to have an old noggin ache.
What is it? What is quinine powder?
It's like basically, I want to say what today aspirin is made out of. It was like an old-timey remedy that they would just give you to relieve your pain.
Okay.
So, I mean, late 1800s, Midwest, probably a single salesman giving away quinine powder.
I would also like to point out, as an aside, that during this time period, too, for headaches, like, they would give people
cocaine
and stuff like that.
Okay. They were giving people, like, anything you can think of. Oh, you got a ghost in your blood, you should be cocaine about it.
Yeah. Cocaine and leeches.
Right.
My go-to.
So, Homeboy's life insurance policies added up to $5,000 in 1890. You guys want to take a guess at how much that is today?
Is it like $200,000?
Almost. It's $154,000 today.
Bitch, I almost said 150.
Did you really?
Always go with your gut.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't. I was telling Courtney earlier I had to do some math about it. And
she was mathing so hard.
I was mathing hard. You would have been proud.
So proud. She was sweating over it.
I was like freaking out. But yeah, it was just over $154,000 today, which is a pretty good chunk of change. I mean,
back then you could have lived forever on that.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. $5,000?
Forever.
Mm-hmm. So that's what everybody knows. Sorry, I'm playing fuzzy with Courtney over here. So that's what we know about her first husband. Second husband, short and sweet, they got married, and then within a couple of months, she was just grabbing her second husband, Peter. Again, great Scandinavian name.
Peter.
He just came up getting something off the top shelf for his lovely wife, and oh, meat grinder falls on his head. He died.
From a meat grinder?
From a meat grinder on his head.
Skull crushing.
Why was your head big? Why yeah. was your meat grinder up there?
Right? Like,
okay.
Why isn't that shit on a countertop?
So, my boyfriend, a Norwegian, has a giant meat grinder that was his grandfather's, and that thing is hefty.
Is it on the top shelf?
It's not. It's actually out in his workshop.
I was going to say, I'm going to check when I go to your house.
Yeah. But it's, like, huge. Like, I can't pick it up. Every meat grinder I've ever seen, even modern ones, they're big for a reason. They do a lot of work.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the first thing you think of is, allegedly, she picked it up and hit him on the head.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, how? How? But Norwegian farm woman. I don't know.
I don't listen, homie, right? Like,
especially you get back that far, those things are big.
Plus, like, bitches back then were wearing, like, corsets and stuff, and, like, if you startled one, they'd faint because they couldn't breathe.
Right.
How is she going to exert herself so hard to pick up a meat grinder?
But then again, you're on a farm, so you have hair help. She had a string attached to her drawer, and she pulled it.
Oh,
like, shell.
Like,
or maybe he had it, and she did something to him, like, as
like
he was lifting
him.
It.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like maybe. Was tickling him. Maybe that's what he was getting down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Got it.
And she was like, ooh. And he
was
like,
ah.
Oh, no.
Nita called it.
Yep.
Done.
We should be detectives.
I'm Jessica Fletcher in this bitch.
So, you know, she's got two husbands now. Unfortunately, kind of common for back then. So she's a widow on a farm in Indiana.
If you're a murderer.
Murderess. Yes, we found her murderess today. We kind of love it.
Oh, no, it's fantastic.
So then there's this guy, and I suck at sweet, like, Norwegian name.
I don't know.
You have a Norwegian boyfriend.
Oh,
His name is Andrew. Helgelin. We'll go with Helgelin.
That doesn't look right, but I'm fine with that.
Research it. Look it up. Anyway, after the farmhouse burned down, this guy contacted the local police. It was in La Porte, Indiana. He had found correspondence between Bell and his brother. And in this correspondence, Bell was like, hey, I need you to buy me some money, bro. She's like,
Venmo it to me.
Here's my handle. But she was like, hey, you need to send me some money. Oh, P.S., you should move out here, but don't tell anybody. Like, let's just keep it our little secret. Well, then his brother goes missing. Before he finds out the correspondence. So he goes out to La Porte to talk to the police who have found this burned down house. You know, because things just aren't adding up. The name comes out, and he's like, wait a minute, I have correspondence from this chick. And along with a former hired hand of the farm, he found these soft depressions in the ground near a new hog sty. And so they started digging around, and what they found was a gunny sack, like just an old, you know, cheap sack. And in that, they found two hands, two feet, and a head.
Was this bitch feeding people to her hogs? Because I talk about this all the time.
Me too.
She had to have been.
Pigs are
so gross.
Right?
Sorry, everybody, I'm whispering, but they're gross.
So, this, you know, poor little Norwegian guy, fine. He might have been Norwegian. We don't know. His name looks Swedish to me.
They're little.
They're big, husky dudes.
They find, you know, the sack, and the guy's like, well, that's my brother. That's his head. He identifies the head as his brother. So the cops and this guy, they found dozens of these depressions on the property. Dozens. And in each bag were torsos, hands, arms hacked at the shoulder down, like just right at the shoulder, masses of human bone wrapped in loose flesh that dripped like jelly was the quote. So think about that next time you have a peanut butter and jelly. But they were like
all over, and they found them. Each time they found a body, they were killed the same. Like, they were dismembered the same way. Like, the arms hacked off, everything decapitated. Every single one was decapitated. All of them.
Which kind of leads me to believe that she's a little more buff than I originally anticipated.
Or she had help.
Yeah, because, like...
Because that takes a lot.
Dismembering a whole-ass body in the 1800s, like...
Well, I mean, they were Norwegian, right? I mean, they have, like, great axes.
Good axe skills.
She hacked them people up.
She did. Their legs were severed at the knees.
Yeah. At least she's going for joints, which are easier
to pull apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on a farm, so I feel like I know a little bit, but not, like, people-wise.
I'm a massage therapist, so I know I have a little anatomy.
No, I don't
trust
either, you know.
Teamwork.
Mm.
Yeah, makes the brain work.
Well, when they eventually found the heads also had blunt force trauma. So it's like, you know, she was obviously killing them and dismembering them, or somebody on her property was. One of the publications noted... the bones had been crushed on the end as though they had been struck with hammers after they were dismembered, and quicklime had been scattered over the faces and stuffed in the ears.
You know what, though? That's smart.
Super smart.
Because the quicklime will eat the tissue and stuff.
So maybe she didn't feed them to the hogs.
I feel like...
She should have.
Yeah.
She should have.
Because then there wouldn't have been anything.
Exactly. And she obviously didn't do it to... Homeboy's brother, because he was able to identify his brother.
Yeah, maybe she was pressed for time that time or something.
Exactly. So after finding the parts of a total of 5 bodies on the first day and 6, an additional 6 on the second day, in shallow graves all over the property, near the outhouse, near the lake, and near the pigsty, the authorities stopped counting at the very high number of 11, which was very hard to count up to back then.
Very hard.
It was super hard.
Don't discriminate against their knowledge.
I mean, it's hard to be.
Yeah. Yeah, Crystal, geez.
I didn't think, like, they start coming after 11.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know, but
I didn't even speak English, so, like, straight out of Norway?
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, like, if I got a bunch of bodies, and I'm at 11, I'd be like, whoa, we gotta find out exactly how many. Like, this is the problem. We gotta find out how many people are on this property in bags. Like, we gotta know. But they stopped coming at 11. Her actual number, like, when you look her up, she's credited at 14, the 11 plus her 3 daughters, but could be up to 40 or more.
That was the problem back then. That kind of shit happened all the time because it was really hard to figure out, you know.
Anything could have happened back then.
It's not like today where they can, like, drill a hole in bone and shit to try to figure out what belongs with what. So if they're just finding random bags of body parts, they have no way of knowing what goes with what or how many people were actually killed. Right. So it's pretty easy to make that kind of assumption when there's multiple bags of stuff and you're just
and
trying to guess.
And they're all thrown together. Yeah. I mean, you don't have those hands, but with that other hand.
Yeah.
There's 2 left feet. You don't know.
Right.
So, I mean, even though that brother identified the head, and multiple families contacted the LaPorte, Indiana police saying, like, hey, my husband, my brother, my uncle, whatever went missing, most of them were unable to be identified, and they just couldn't do anything about it.
So then she only did this command.
Besides her 3 girls, yes. That's everything was found on the property from what I could find was men. There's a, like you were saying, like, how did this, you know, frail woman in a corset do all this stuff. There is a theory that her accomplice, Ray Lampier, who was a hired hand, and her on-again-off-again lover, was an accomplice in all of this. He was convicted of arson on the farmhouse. I'm assuming her and her first husband did that for the insurance.
God, tax clues. Fucking why? So, because this is a podcast and you wouldn't be able to see what just happened, my lovely husband, Christopher Ringler,
a good 6 years of marriage.
It's 6 years of marriage, 13 years together, had on some kind of weird nylon mask and was peeking behind Crystal's head looking at me. And at first I was like, well, this is how I die. And then I realized that wasn't just his face, and now we're giggling.
Nice. So this Ray guy, who was Belle's lover, he confirmed that she would place ads for a male companion and then poison them and kill them. Like, she's like, yeah. Or he's like, yeah, she did that. Totally did that. He also stated that she asked him to burn down the house with her kids inside. Well, so he said she said back then. Like, of course you're going to say that. It wasn't me, it was her. He also asserted that the headless body found in the farmhouse, along with her three daughters, was a planted body of another victim, and that she had actually ran away to start a new life. So, and apparently she did that after another victim's brother had contacted the farmhouse saying, hey, I know you've been in contact with my brother, we're trying to figure out where he's going, so we're going to come talk to you. Like, just a heads up, we're going to talk to you. Once she got that letter, she freaked out, said burn the house down, probably didn't have time to quicklime. Ossel, I guess his name is Ossel, the brother, his brother's head, and she got out of town.
Yeah.
So she is definitely the main suspect in all of this. She's been fingered by this Ray guy, and she took off, never was convicted, never was found, nothing. It's theorized that she moved to California and kept killing there under the same kind of premise. But it's really hard to prove that back then, because she probably just started with a new name, new life, everything. But because she was the main suspect in these 14 murders, and if she was ever found, she was going to be charged with it, that is what makes her the first serial killer in America versus Madame LaLaurie 50 years prior, because she was never accused of the atrocities in her house.
Yeah, like, it was speculation, and she got away before... Mm-hmm. Before they were able to do anything about it,
right?
So
technically, my
it's like the first,
too,
yeah.
But they were like, "No, we catch her; she's going down."
Yeah.
So and she was basically fingered by, literally and figuratively, by Ray.
Oh, gross!
There you go. So that is technically the first female American serial killer,
allegedly.
But to go about the probably most well-known and perhaps the first, dare we say, allegedly American, or alleged
female
serial killer, Elizabeth Bathory.
Get it, girl?
Woo!
The Blood Countess, right? So, what makes it hard to talk about something like this was so long ago. That all of this is allegedly. Nothing in here can be proven,
disproven,
anything. It's a legend, basically. She's a legend.
She's a legend.
A legend.
Alleged legend.
Yeah! Oh, no.
Okay.
That was dumb. I'm sorry.
All right. Take your answer. So this was like, she was born in 1560 in Hungary.
See, you guys say I talk about food.
Hungary. Well, we talked about food this whole time, in between everything.
Candy shop.
Damn it.
She was probably the most prolific female murderer ever. She grew up in a very violent time with a very violent family. She was also probably the product of inbreeding. A lot of times back then, you know, you married your brother.
Especially like if there was any kind of like status with the family,
right, like the royal blood, you had to keep it.
Well, even like with noble people, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Like,
I'm so happy I'm an only child, you guys. I'm so happy.
I was for 8 years, and then I, you know, got half siblings over here, but, you know. So, her childhood, she witnessed a ton of cruelty. Like, her parents were they punished revolters, they were, you know, lords and whatnot. I mean, she's seen some pretty nasty stuff. And so... her initial victims were serving girls, like age 10 to 14, daughters of local peasants. She would take them, abduct them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even get any notice until later when she started killing more notable people, like families that would send their daughters to her for courtly etiquette.
That's what's sad about it, is that, like, the servants, no one bats an eyelash at.
Right.
The people who are a little higher up.
Even mediocrely higher.
Yeah, like, that's when people start to question it, so I mean...
Yeah, like, you send your teenage girl to finishing school so she can land a good husband, and then you're like, oh, wait,
I don't have a daughter anymore.
Oh, wait, she got killed.
She did. I don't know, I kind of did this in a bad...
Just go with it, baby, we got you.
Okay, I was going to say, you know enough about her.
She was, like, really messed up, this lady, right? So... She had a ton of methods that she would kill these people in. Like, she would burn them with metal sticks, red hot keys and coins. She ironed the soles of their feet. She stuck burning iron rods into their vaginas. She stitched their lips and tongues together. She even smeared a naked girl with honey and left her outside to be bitten by ants. Wow. These flies.
Man.
She was accused of cannibalism. We would force her servants to cut off pieces of them, like buttocks and things, and cook them and make them eat it. And allegedly. Also would make sausages out of her victims and serve them to guests.
I'm never eating sausage again.
I mean, I'll still eat it because sausage is delicious, but I'll question it a little
bit. Oh, God. We had sausage.
She would use needles, knives, and her own teeth to lacerate genitals. She only did this to girls, by the way. This is like
another
young,
one.
Like girls.
Yeah.
Were they always girls that were younger than her?
Yes. Always young, like 8 to. Probably like 18.
Like middle age.
Young adult. So, there's also the more famous rumors that she bathed in virgin's blood to keep her skin young and youthful, but she was obsessed with her looks and vanity. She used a lot of cosmetics back then, which were, full of lead and all sorts of other...
Right.
Like, oh, shit, I wonder if that made her crazy.
Right?
Yeah, because lead can affect your brain.
Exactly.
Yes.
And if she was super obsessed with looking good, she would have tried
everything
before it was proven. She would have tried to be on the cutting edge, like you were saying, with the vampire facials.
Right.
That all kind of goes back to being so lean, you're willing to try anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So... Another one, I got a good laugh out of this one. Allegedly.
Who got a laugh out of this one?
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. She cast a magic spell to summon a cloud filled with 90 cats to torment her enemies.
90 cats?
Cats.
90 cats.
Could you imagine getting scratched by 90 cats?
Both of you guys are allergic. So.
Yo, let me be real here, right? So, like, I dislike cats. Unless... they want to cuddle with me and purr and give me kisses.
Right. Yeah.
But then I break out in hives and I start wheezing really bad and my eyes start swelling up and running and I can't see. So, like, they're literally loving me to death.
When we live together, just going to tell this story.
Yeah, right? Go ahead. No, you tell it. It's
funnier. It's funnier because I wasn't the victim. When we live together in Pennsylvania, oh, good Lord. My cat used to sleep on the bed in the extra bedroom, and then Courtney moved in and took that bed, and Roxy was like, hey, man, that's my bed. So when Courtney would sleep, my cat would sleep on her face.
Oh.
Like, Courtney's allergic.
Lay on my face.
Which is funny, because, like, I've read stuff where it's like, no, like, if your cat, tries to sleep next to your face or, like, on your chest and stuff, or, like, if they kind of need you a little bit, like, it's a sign of affection. So, like, Jabba was like, yo, I love you, friend, and you were like, I can't breathe.
Like, I woke up in the middle of the night once, suffocating.
She was suffocating. Like, you've seen Jabba Kitty. You saw Jabba Kitty when I lived in Pennsylvania.
Yo, friends, she is not small.
She's so
cute, but man, she's not small.
I'm an open mouth sleeper. I sleep with my mouth open. I know it's gross. And I remember waking up and I just had like long fur in my mouth, and my nostrils. and I could not breathe.
I just hear her wheezing from down
the
hall.
I'm, like, wheezing. I, like, my throat is probably closing up. My eyes, I can't see. They're just, you know.
And that's 2014 with one cat. Imagine the 1600s with 90
cats.
It would smell so, like, pee.
A cloud of 90 cats. They come in, like, dust form and then appear in front of your eyes.
I would die.
Yeah.
I mean, probably from the dander, because that was probably what the dust was, but still.
That's a nice little note about Miss Bathory.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
But it is kind of funny, because it's like, who thought of that?
It's super funny. Like, I try to allegedly think of ways to smite my enemies all the time, and I never in my head was I like, ooh, 90 cats is the way to go.
But jot it down. Take a note of that.
I will.
91.
91.
That's the problem. She only had 90.
Yeah, I'm going to top it.
107.
I like that one.
So, going to numbers here, everybody's like, oh, 100. Oh, you know, 11 to 40. This lady is allegedly, it's anywhere from 30 to 650 servant women.
Which,
in this case, I honestly think that the higher numbers are probably more legit.
I think so too, unfortunately.
But yeah. I mean, but there was a round of ballpark number with Mandy's, 100 people in the attic.
Yeah.
14 bodies were found in Indiana. 650 people.
Yeah.
Is probably right.
Well, if you think about the number of servants that she probably had, the number of servants she was able to acquire, then all the girls that were sent there for, like,
all the passerby who just randomly.
Yep.
I mean, she abducted people. She took people in. I mean, she was royalty. Like, she was, you know, she was important. Yeah.
And nobody was going to question it until it got out of hand.
So, but she was also sick. Let's go back to that. She may have had epilepsy because of all the inbreeding. Yeah. And at the time, symptoms relating to epilepsy were diagnosed as falling sickness. And the treatments for that were rubbing the blood of a non-sufferer on the lips of an epileptic.
That ain't lip gloss.
1600 science!
So now we go back. Was this obsession with her, with blood and her vanity, was it really just
a byproduct?
A byproduct of trying to make herself healthy? Was she just killing these people and using their, because she thought, like, hey, I don't want to die. I don't want seizures. Nobody wants to have seizures.
Nobody will miss this poor little girl, but I will be cured.
Yeah.
So, between 1602 and 1604, rumors of Bathory's victims started to spread through the town. Complaints piled up, and eventually the Hungarian authorities responded. The king at the time... Eventually, like, this was, like, months and months and months of complaints. And they were like, whatever, I guess we'll finally do something about it.
I guess if you're going to make us.
Right.
So, the king at the time, I didn't write his name down or even care because whatever.
we're talking about the women today.
Right.
We don't care about the ladies. Guys.
Fuck that guy, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. So, he sends this dickhead dude out here, right? His name's Thurzo.
His name actually was Dickhead.
No, I wish. I wish. Thurzo was his name. I don't know what his first name was. He was like part of like the Lutheran church or at the time or whatever. So he sends him out there to deal with her. Like, he's collecting testimonies and witnesses, and eventually this Thurzo guy, he goes to Bathory's castle on December 30th, 1610, and allegedly caught her in the act of killing somebody.
What?
Thurzo's men who were with him reportedly found one girl dead and another one dying from being tortured. So the countess was placed under house arrest, and
which, I mean, she was doing all this shit in her house anyway, so...
Yeah, like, okay.
She was a countess. It was probably a fucking castle. Oh, no.
It was yeah. Probably, like, cute. Yeah, like, castle. She had tons of servants. So, did they take all of her servants away? Because she was probably still going to do it.
Exactly.
Right. And so all of her servants, except for one, testified against her. But this servant that did not testify, she was tortured. They burned her eyes out and cut her boobs off.
Man. 1600 Hungarian boobs?
Yeah. So she was in her castle. She was placed in her tower, and she was bricked into the room with only a food slit. And she remained in there until she died 4 years later on August 21st, 1614.
God, 4 years.
4 years in a closet.
Like, you would hope that she would have died before that, like, horribly, because,
right.
I mean, that's some fucking atrocities. But still, can you imagine just, like, 4 years?
But she was the only one out of the three of these that was actually...
Yeah, actually
charged.
Face any
yeah,
kind of
she was
time.
Actually,
so, was she innocent, though? Because... At the time...
Are you about to M. Night Shyamalan, like, twist me right now?
I am.
Yeah.
I
oh,
am.
No!
Manny just got comfortable!
Okay, so,
it's a twist!
So she's a bad bitch, right?
Right.
She takes no crap. She lives in a time where women are not respected. They are not allowed to hold property or do any of this. Well, she was a countess. And when she married, her husband was of lower status than she was. So he actually took her last name. So she's like, yeah, bad bitch
yeah.
over here. He goes off to war and leaves her to manage all sorts of shit around. Like, thousands of servants. She's governing the local populace. She's handling an amount of property that is second to none. She owns more property than the king.
Oh!
At the time.
That already is bad news for her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she needs to prove, like, she can handle this and she's in charge. She was strict as hell, and she was overwhelmingly curt to everybody, like, even her husband. Like, they're letters, and she basically tells them to, like, fuck off and go to war.
Dang.
And so she has to punish her servants to make them listen to her. She's a woman. They don't want to listen to her. And so she probably did punish them in some pretty severe, nasty ways, and I'm sure a lot of them did die. I mean, medicine was basically non-existent, except for, you know, weird 16th century
yeah.
Hungarian
right.
honey powder, you know, rubbing lips, blood,
yeah.
leeches.
Leeches and cocaine.
Woo!
Party!
And so medicine was, you know,
healthcare was
crap back then.
Yeah.
And, actually, some scholars claim that these outlandish torture methods were, like, folk remedies. Like, the metal rods and stuff were, like, to, like, burn the sin out of you.
So it was considered legitimate.
Yeah.
Why not?
So, she's a hard-ass over here trying to hold all of her shit together while her husband's at war. And incoming douche nozzle Thurzo. He comes in and kind of screws everything up, right? She's so powerful. She's literally like the Kennedys of Hungary. If Elizabeth and her cousin Gabor, I don't know.
Gabor.
I don't like that.
I like Gabor.
He was gunning for the throne at the time. Like, he's trying to take the throne from the king. If they teamed up, they would have been unstoppable. So somebody had to stop.
That's how powerful she was as a family.
Thurzo was like, F that noise. We're plotting against her. I'm going to spread these rumors.
Oh.
So the guy that allegedly caught her in the act, it could have all been bullshit.
Exactly.
It could have been political slander, pretty much.
Spreading rumors around about her, like all these bad things that she's done. She tortures their servants. He's whispering in the ears of all the village peasants at the pub, and he's like, hey, that Elizabeth Bathory, she's bad news. We should get rid of her.
Scandalous.
And so it's likely that all of her servants were tortured before they testified against her. Because their testimonies are all really confusing, and they really, like, contradict themselves all throughout. Like, if you look up There's a few remaining papers and documents about it. Barely any, though. But there was one that I read that it was like, her servant Anna, her name was Anna, and she had her arm broken. And she tried to say that it was an accident, you know, she was doing something and she shouldn't have been doing it, and she fell and she hurt herself, and it wasn't the Countess's fault. But then later in court, she says that the Countess broke her arm for being a bad person.
So basically, this testimony was kind of coerced out of them to say
it's
what.
Like good cop, bad cop.
And so after all of these testimonials went through, Thurzo took a full 24 hours to produce any evidence that he caught her in the act. I don't know what the evidence was. It didn't really go into detail.
What kind of evidence did you have back then?
I don't know.
No, yeah.
But he took, like, the maximum amount of time to even try to find anything that could be connected to her and this torture and murder. And she actually never even got a trial, and she wasn't even allowed to speak in her defense. And all of her family records were destroyed. So there were no records to say, like, this is the kind of person she was, she would never do anything like that. Nothing. She got no chance to defend herself at all.
That's sketch.
Super sketch.
Yeah, definitely. So was she really the Blood Countess? What is possible, but maybe not to the scale of the accusation?
Yeah.
Or was it kind of like a witch hunt? You know, like prosecution against a powerful, harsh, and independent woman in a time where men couldn't stand a tough woman? You know, like...
The only question I have about that is, like, so servants, it's easy to be unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
But then what about these girls that were sent to her
right.
as, like, a finishing school kind of thing? Like,
right.
Like, what happened to them?
Maybe they did die from illness.
Maybe
they ran away.
Called the doctor a lot. I mean, there was notes that I read that she would call the doctor and tell him that he had to come up to the castle because these girls were getting sick. But he was never allowed to look at their bodies. So, I mean, was she torturing them? Or were they actually getting sick and dying?
Right.
And then if you're in basically a commune with a bunch of other sick people, you're likely to get sick.
Everybody's going to get sick, yeah.
But she never got sick.
No,
so, I mean,
she's bathed in blood, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, she was coated in lead.
Virgin
stuff. Nothing was penetrating that layer.
Yeah.
Honestly. So, like, did she go crazy from all the lead that she put on her skin? Was she not guilty to that extent?
At all.
Or, you know, it's just something else.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of information on it.
There's a lot of questions.
There's so many questions.
I went into this thinking, like, yeah, that bitch did it. And now I'm like, ooh.
Now you're questioning. And I'm questioning Lori. I don't think it was her. Maybe it was her husband. You don't know.
Right? The medical knowledge.
The medical knowledge.
Right? Mm-hmm. M. Night Shyamalan. It's a twist.
I don't remember what I was
going
to
say. Okay. That it's a twist? So, I'm going to turn it back over to Chris, because he's been steady lurking this whole time.
Lurk?
I don't know why you're in my face. I need personal space.
I do want to say thanks to Courtney for coming all the way out here this weekend.
Thanks, Courtney.
For coming
our
out.
Special guest.
You're welcome.
On Tales from the Underbelly of the Belly Bowl. The 1984 championship football team and their untold story. This was a wonderful, heartfelt podcast. And just in time for the holidays, it really, you brought some tears. The people in the audience, there's a lot of tears. Let's give it up for little Billy Jones, who got that water out to him when they needed it.
So anyway.
So thank you, ladies. This is, I don't know what episode we're on. So episode 80-something. 70-something, whatever. But thank you. We'll be back again in the future with more spooky stuff. So any last words, ladies?
It's a twist!